Ron and Anian.
Fiat Chrysler warns 4.8 million owners don't use the cruise control. This is in today's paper. Now think self-driving cars while I read you this story. That's just insane.
Doctor.
In all the cars I fix, it's what was wrong with it? No one has yet to ask the why. What broke the car?
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome. Ron and Andy and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. Here and alive, ready to go, wide awake at cardoctorshow.com for more information. And you can podcast and Spreaker and do all the other good things that you want to do out there and cruise with us as we take you on this journey of automotive information. That's what this radio show is all about. I wanted to do an opening monologue and tell you about the 08 Tahoe, but I can't because Tom went and found a phone call. So let's kick the garage doors wide open. It's Tom's fault. And Tony said, no, we don't want to fall asleep. Let's take the call. So we're going to take the call first. Let's go over and talk to Alex from Katy, Texas, and see what's going on here. Alex, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
Just a quick question,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Got a high school graduate.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a long road.
Yeah.
But I got a graduate. He's got about $7,000 in graduation money, and he's wanting to buy a used vehicle, of course. Just wanting to see if you had any ideas for him.
You know, is he going to go to college, Alex?
Yes, sir.
So it's going to be a transportation vehicle. Does he work part time? Can he use the vehicle to help him with a part time job, perhaps? I'm just trying to decide. You know, do we want to talk about sedans? Do we want to talk about pickup trucks? Do we want to talk about is there any way that whatever vehicle he gets might help him with the part time job to get him through college?
Correct. He does have a part time job. It's probably going to be a pickup because he has a motorcycle that he's going to have to drag with him. Pickup would be more.
Okay. So, big pickup, full size, small. What's he looking for?
Let's go full size.
Full size. Nothing better than a Chevy or a Ford if it's in his price range. I don't think $7,000 is going to get him there. I think he's probably going to go a little bit in debt, but that's okay. Going into debt young teaches you to work harder and, work towards a goal. And, that's okay. I'd rather see him, at this point, if he's going to college and he has to stretch the envelope a little bit and work a little harder, maybe put in a couple extra hours at night or wherever he's working and, learn the good things in life are there if you want to work hard for him. I'd rather see him stretch a little bit and try and reach his, extend his reach and buy a better vehicle. But, I would look at a Ford. I would look at a Chevy. I'd stay away from a Chrysler or a Dodge. I don't think their pickup trucks are what they once were. That would be about it.
So just basically low mileage, good tires.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a different question, though, because then the next part of this is, what are we going to buy? And, of course, I'd go look at a Toyota pickup if they had something full size in his range. But it's also going to come back to who's going to work on it. And I say this time and again, it doesn't matter what you buy. Sooner or later, it's going to break. It could be brandy spanking new. Sooner or later, it's going to break. And, if the dealership you're buying it from or the repair shop or the used car dealer you're buying it from has a bad reputation, it could be the prettiest girl in the world. But sooner or later, it's going to be a problem. And, that's just going to be an issue. And that's just really the way it is. So, keep being mindful of who's going to work on it and do they have the tooling and the technology to work on it.
He's already got the prettiest girl, so we'll go with that.
But yeah,
appreciate all your information on this. He's sitting here listening right now. So
oh,
we're gonna We're heading out right now to go look at some cars.
Well, I'll tell you what, it'll be a memorable experience. You know what? Car shopping with Dad's got to be a good time. It's something he'll look back 20 years from now and think, hey, that was great. I remember my dad because. And, you know, it's I never had that opportunity, but I'll tell you what, he should treasure it. It should be a great thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. Can I just ask you real quick, Alex, how do you listen to the show? Did you happen to stumble upon it, or are we on an affiliate down there somewhere in Texas?
Actually, we were coming back from fishing this morning, and we just, you know, we were scanning and came across you and Tom, and I mean, it's a treat to listen to. I mean, it's very hard to get an 18-year-old to listen to AM radio. And he was really interested in what you were saying and how you knew everyone. He looked you up, and Tom told us that you're in New Jersey. So, you know, he was very impressed.
Well,
so
listen,
you're doing a great job. And honestly, you're helping a lot of people out here that, you know, just need a guidance.
You know, Alex, I got to tell you, some days, and there are some weeks, you wonder why you do this after 27 years. I met somebody this week. All at once, I felt old and appreciated. We were talking about something, and she wanted to say, you know, well, can we meet on Saturday? And I said, I can't meet on Saturday. I've got to go do the radio show. And there was like dead silence. And Eileen said to me, she goes, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. She said, how many years are you doing that? And I said, 27. She said, then I guess it was you. And I said, what do you mean you guess it was me? She said, well, you know, when I was 14, and now I'm really starting to feel old because she's like 30. She said, you know, my dad used to listen to this, and they lived not, you know, half hour from us over here. She said, my dad used to listen to this guy on one of those New York radio stations, and she said, it was you, wasn't it? She told me the name of the radio station, and I went, yeah, it was me. She goes, wow. She goes, that's really pretty neat. She goes, you know, my dad loves listening to you. Me, not so much. I was 14. I wanted music to come out of the radio, but I liked hanging out with my dad. And, you know, it just kind of made me feel old and appreciate it all at the same time. But listen, I'm glad to be here for her, and I'm glad to be here for your son and you and everybody else, because I'm just trying to help everybody make sense of the automobile. So go look at a bunch of cars. Remember, condition and mileage outweighs, you know, options and features. You know, pull the dipstick, look at the dipstick, how clean's the oil. If you're buying something used, obviously you will be. Turn on the radio. What radio stations are there? If it's heavy metal death music, maybe that's not the car we want. If it's, you know, something classical and opera, maybe that's a person that drove slow. Maybe we want that. You know, take a look at the spare. Has the spare ever been on the car? If it's a used car, again, does it have a spare? Are the jack tools there? You know, start looking around for signs of wear and tear. Start looking around for signs of flood vehicle. You know, sniff the car. Do you smell moisture? Does it smell like mildew? Although they're pretty good at hiding it today. But just be careful of what you buy. And just like Dayton, don't fall in love with the first girl. Just make sure it's the right car before you want to take it out for the long haul. You know, so go back and look at it twice and drive the vehicle twice. I tell everybody, drive any car, new or used, during the day and at night, because its personality changes, you know, from daytime to nighttime. All of a sudden at nighttime, it's dark. You know, is the radio in reach? Do you have to fumble with the knobs? Can you see everything? Do you have a good feel for it? You know, is there good vision to the left, good vision to the right, that kind of thing? I mean, he has to like the truck. You have to like the vehicle. But, you know, a truck's personality changes all the time, depending upon whether you're driving daytime, nighttime, good weather, bad weather, that kind of thing. So take your time, go slow, and you'll pick the right vehicle. All right, kiddo.
All right. Hey, appreciate it. And just remember, find the glory, my friend.
Yes, sir. Listen, you bring him up, and I understand that, too, because he's the one that gave me this radio show. Alex, I appreciate it very, very much. You and your son, everybody else, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk again
soon.
You're very welcome. You take good care. Boy, that's, you know, someday I'll tell you how God gave me this radio show. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this. Don't go away.
Don't you hate when you need some expensive part or service? It sure makes maintaining your car a frustrating task. Thankfully, Pep Boys has over 1 million parts in stock, like batteries, filters, brake pads, and more. And if you need a little extra help, the Pep Boys pros will install the part for you. Since 1921, Manny, Moe, and Jack's legacy has been to provide quality parts, service, and tires to people everywhere. So the next time you need car advice or simply want a service done, head to the pros. Visit your local Pep Boys or shop online at pepboys.com.
Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the car doctor, rolling along. You know, Alex and his son reminded me Father's Day is just around the corner. And, you know, there's a perfect opportunity, right? Something to talk about and doing something with dad or the dad figure in your life. And we want to use those stories, and we might even read a few in the coming weeks. But if you've got a dad story, if the person that influenced you about cars, or, you know, the SOS story, bailed you out on the side of the road, or taught you right from wrong from a car, you know, or taking care of a car, can you send us that story? Can you really, please? I think it's inspiring, and I think, you know, it gives us that feel-good moment. It's that feel-good button that we all kind of need during the day to, get through the day. And that's what cars are, too, to a point also. They're more than just transportation. They're much more than just transportation. And, do so. Email it, ron@cardoctorshow.com, or if you can, get up to the Car Doctor Facebook page, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. Post it up there, and we'll take that. We'll do something with it, I promise. Something good. You're putting good energy out there and good mojo, and it's just sometimes, you know what? It's healing. It makes you feel good to talk about dad or that dad figure to what they helped you do, and so on. So just think about that in the next couple of weeks. Let's go over and talk to is that Jim in Raleigh, North Carolina? I believe 03 Subaru.
Yes, hello, Ron. Hey. I feel like you're part of the family after 6 months listening to your podcast.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you being there, man. I really do, and I'm glad you're here with me today. How can I help you, sir?
I have a 2003 Subaru Forester with an air conditioning problem whereby I can drive it probably all day at above 40 miles per hour, never stopping, and I've got fantastic air conditioning. Couldn't be any colder. But if I finish that trip with letting it just sit for 5 minutes with the engine running and temperatures above 87 degrees, so the engine compartment gets heat soaked, the AC compressor quits cutting in, and the solution seems to be either recycle, the auto button on the dashboard several times till it will cut in. But one thing that will always work is to remove the AC compressor relay, reseat it. Will always cause the AC compressor to start cutting in. And so because of that, I replaced the AC compressor with a new one. I know what you say about new. Anyway, I did that. I still have the same problem. Also, when the condition was in, I pulled that relay. I measured voltage on both sides of the coil and the switch, and it looks like I got the right stuff there.
So the question is, if you've got the relay closed, where's it getting lost? If the relay is closed and it's applying power down to the compressor, have you gone to the compressor? Does it have power at the compressor?
I have not gone. You mean when the condition exists?
Right. Well, let's do it two ways, okay? When the compressor's working, let's go down and measure voltage at the compressor clutch itself so we know what we're looking for, right? We know what, okay. Sometimes to know what bad is, you got to know what good is. Right.
Yep.
Let's go see what good looks like. And then when it stops, what don't we have? I know it's very easy to say, well, it can't be the compressor. Prove it to me. Test it the exact same way. Do you have voltage going to the compressor? All right.
Okay.
And if you do, if you've got voltage there, where's the ground side of that clutch coil to engage that coil? How is that controlled?
I'm thinking it's the compressor case from what I see of the schematic.
Right. I believe they run a pigtail off that coil feed, and that grounds it to the case, and then the case is obviously attached to the block. All right?
Okay.
So let's check ground there. Let's voltage drop the ground, and then for that conversation, do we have a problem somewhere else with the ground in the engine compartment? If we think it's the ground and we ran an auxiliary ground from the engine block right to the negative battery post, does that make the compressor work?
Okay.
All right. But I think, if we want to extrapolate this out a little bit and look a little bit further, if we make the assumption, because you've already, the compressor turns out to be good, all right, and I've got a great new part story coming up this hour. if it turns out to be good and the ground is good, then we've got to work our way back up. We probably won't have power going down to the compressor. We've got to take a look at the AC thermostat, all right, and work our way backwards. Do you have a wiring diagram for this, Jim?
Yes, from AllData. I'm looking at it as we speak.
Okay. Because I would just, you know, the wiring diagram is the roadmap. I would just follow my way down and see how.
I don't know if this matters because with a VOM, you know, $10 VOM, I measured the ground point of the relay to the screw holding the relay, relay case, and I measure 7 ohms. But you know, that's with a $10 VOM.
Well, yeah, and I'm not. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would. I'd want to see that resistance is good, but I want to see it. I want to see it at the point of failure. I want to look at voltage. I want to see it working. I've had resistance cheat me too many times. I'll tell you the story now. So I had an 08 Tahoe that had a wheel bearing issue this week. We put a brand new wheel bearing in it right out of General Motors, an FW346, because it had lateral rock. The bearing was just worn out. And put a brand new GM wheel bearing in it. Nothing else was wrong with the vehicle. Got in the vehicle, started it up, pulled it 3 feet out the garage door, the ABS and traction control lights popped on. Well, gee, I broke the truck. Now what happened? Pulled it back in. Is everything plugged in? Everything's plugged in. Did the same thing as you. Ohm tested the bearing. Read the exact same thing as the old bearing. The resistance value was correct. All right? Plugged in the old bearing and just plugged it in, and the light went out. Jumped across the circuit going back on the harness side, the light was out. It actually the light stayed on. It set a fault code for a shorted circuit, so I knew the computer was capable of seeing response. All right, so here's a case where resistance values were good. I couldn't get a signal out of it, and wait, the story gets better. But I couldn't actually get it to do any work, so it was late. It was like 10 to 5 on Wednesday night. I said, you know what, we'll deal with this on Thursday. Called the customer, said, listen, I'm not sure what's going on, da-da-da-da. We'll deal with it Thursday morning. Came in Thursday morning. Do you know I started that truck up, pulled it out of the bay, the light was out, the truck was fixed? Electrical stuff does funny things. And, resistance is, sometimes I fall and die on resistance because that's the only thing I can test. But if I can test something a different way, if I can test, if resistance passes, but I can prove voltage being incorrect, because here's a case where resistance was good. I had no AC voltage signal output. I had no output signal on that bearing. So, my point is sometimes resistance isn't the be-all and end-all, but I get what you're doing. I really do. By the way, I changed the new bearing. I put another new bearing in it and sent it down the road because I couldn't trust it.
One more question from the schematic, and that is the pressure switch. I'm getting the right voltage down from the pressure switch, which gives me the voltage on one side of the relay switch. That's
okay.
Good. That's 13.6.
Okay. I tell you what, let's not run away from this, Jim. Stay right where you are. Let me pull over and take this pause, and we'll pick it up from this, and we'll just be a couple of minutes when we come back, and we'll get you some more information. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this, 855-560-9900. Don't go away.
Best in car advice, give Ron a call, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over back to Jim. Jim, you're still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this question. When the compressor doesn't come on, and we're talking about his 03 Subaru, those of you just tuning in with an erratic AC compressor, when the compressor doesn't come on, there's a blue-red wire at the pressure switch, correct?
Blue-red wire. Let me try to find that. Blue-red.
At the pressure switch? If you ground that, does the compressor clutch come on?
I have not tried that.
All right. Because that would be the trigger. That would be the state of go for the for the compressor?
You said a blue-white?
Blue-red. I believe a blue-red, if memory serves me correct.
May not be looking at the same drawing because I'm seeing green, orange, blue, excuse me, brown, yellow.
Is this an automatic automatic or a manual AC?
This is auto.
Okay. I got the wrong picture in my head. Go ahead, ask me your question.
Well, I was just wanted to tell you that, you know, I see that there's a completion that has to happen from the pressure switch down to one side of the coil. And I do have 13.5 volts down at the coil, so the pressure switch is getting the voltage down there. That was my point.
Okay. But isn't that a blue wire at the compressor? When we
see, you mean that comes down to the coil?
Right. That goes down to feed the... We're talking about the compressor clutch coil, right?
Okay, yes.
That's a blue wire.
It's listed as L in the schematic, whatever color L is.
L is blue. Japanese don't say blue. Japanese wiring diagrams all treat L as blue for some reason. I believe that's what I learned years ago, and I believe it's still to be correct because there is no color L. The reason is because blue and black is interchangeable. So black B is black and L is blue.
Okay, thank you.
Don't ask me why.
So you're saying ground wear again?
No, stay off of that because if you have an automatic system, I got a different diagram in my head. So, but let's go backwards. If when the compressor doesn't work, here's what I want to know. When the compressor doesn't work, do I have voltage on that blue wire at the compressor?
Okay.
It's that simple.
Okay.
All right. If you've got, and that blue wire coming out of the relay, that's the, you know, when the relay's tripped, because you said the relay was tripped, right?
Well, I'm saying if I reset the relay, I get the compressor back on.
Okay.
If I reseat it.
But didn't you say you measured voltage at the relay and you had signal through and across and the relay was activated and the compressor didn't come on?
Yes, I have 13.6 down from the voltage supply, and I have 13.6 down from the compressor switch, and I have a low from the computer control, you know, a no voltage from the computer control,
right,
which would seem to energize the coil.
Right, so the coil's energized. That blue feed out of the relay, that blue wire out of the relay, does it have, you know, charging system voltage on it, 13.5, 13.8, whatever?
At the compressor. I haven't done that.
Yeah, at the compressor or at the relay, you know, whichever way. Now, if you don't have it at the compressor, then go back up to the relay, find it in the harness. Do you have 13.8 coming out of the relay? That blue wire is the feed. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if the relay is truly energized, we don't care about the rest of the circuit. We don't care about the thermostatic switch. We don't care about the pressure switch. We don't care about anything else. The relay's on. If the relay's on and energized and closed and completed, that blue wire's got to be hot. Or you've got a connection issue either out of the relay box or broken wire inside the harness at that wire.
Gotcha.
All right. Now I would own that wire. All right. Mm-hmm. Now I would come back to that blue wire in the relay box, go down to the compressor, unplug it at the compressor, ohm across that wire, and I should have almost zero resistance. I should have a complete solid circuit. All right.
Got it.
And then if I had any doubt, then I would put, here's a case where, you know, we could try this too if you want to have some fun. All right. You got it. Do you have an old headlight lying around?
No, I can get one.
Go get an old headlight, an old square lamp headlamp from an old 70s car or an 80s vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wire it up so that that blue wire at the compressor, disconnect it, run a set of jumpers, power the headlight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you turn on the AC switch, that headlight should light. If you know, power to the blue wire, ground the other side. When it doesn't work, if your headlight lights, I hate to tell you, you know what new means?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's right back where you are. You know, don't get hung. And I'm not saying you are, but I just want to be clear. Don't get hung on, hey, this is how the circuit's supposed to work. Take every component out of the car and make them work or not work on the bench or in your head. How would you test it if you didn't have a diagram and you didn't have the car in front of you? And I gave you a compressor, a relay, and a switch. How would you test each component to see if they worked?
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's what you're going to do right here. If you've got power at the relay, that blue wire's hot. Compressor's got to work, or you're missing ground. That's the only thing that's there.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Take my email. You got my email, ron@cardoctorshow.com?
Sure do.
All right. You got a question, you call me or you email me.
Okay.
All right, Jim, let me know what happens.
Thank you very much.
All right, brother. My pleasure.
Okay.
My pleasure. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Let's get over and talk to, really? Tom, it's not a Willis coupe. It's a Willys coupe. Ted, help me. I've got a non-hot rod guy on the phone today. So he thinks it's a Willys coupe.
It's a Willys, all right.
It's a Willys. I know exactly what this is. What are we trying to put in this thing?
All right. I'm putting a 3800 Buick supercharged motor in it. I started with a 409. It was just too big. There was just. I've been working on this thing for the last 40 years off and on.
All right.
I'm going to get it going.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I got the 3800 motor in it, and then I bought a transmission out of a Camaro, which used the 3.8 motor, but non-supercharged.
Okay.
And everything worked. I mean, the starter bolts up, flywheel, transmission, everything worked. I got the motor running, and that's a, kind of a long story, but anyway, I got it running, and I'm using the computer out of the front-wheel drive car. I had it reflashed, and they took the VAT system out of it, and I think it's been set up for the rear-wheel drive transmission, but I'm not sure. So my question is, you know, the it's got like the pin connector, you know, the connector for the transmission is the same for the front-wheel drive and the rear-wheel drive. The front-wheel drive uses, I think, one more wire. I think it uses 14 wires, and the rear-wheel drive uses 13 wires. But all the functions on the pins are the same until you get down to the last four.
Okay.
And you know, in other words, can I run the front wheel drive computer with this rear wheel drive transmission, or am I just going to have to put it together and see?
Here's why I don't think you can. All right. And well, I'll tell you what. I got to ask you to stay put because I got to pull over and take this pause. When I come back, I'll tell you why I don't think you can. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll return right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Let's go over and talk back to Ted. Ted, Springfield, Illinois. Ted, you're still there, sir.
Yes, sir.
The reason I don't think that will work using the rear-wheel drive computer or the front-wheel drive computer and the rear-wheel drive trans is because, in my mind, if it could be done by a simple software change, then why didn't GM do it?
Right.
And they would have saved money on the processor. So the right answer, I think, is unless you can identify each and every wire and what they were doing and then compare it to what you've got, I don't know that it will work. But let me ask you this question. And listen, I really admire what you're doing. I think it's going to be cool when you're done. You know, I'll tell you what.
Hey, and I really like your show, too. You do a great job.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm glad you're an old school guy, too, because I'm an old guy, too, and worked on old cars for years. And with carburetors and points and, you know, this late model stuff, you understand it a lot more than I do. So.
Well, it's, you know what, I was very fortunate. I was brought up on carburetors and points, and then at the right time, somebody came, as the new stuff came along, somebody said, "Man, nobody else wants to go. Do you want to go to school?" And I went, okay. You know, it's like, what did I know? I didn't. So it just kind of worked. I was never afraid to take education in my life, never once. But, you know, I would look at either break down what those wires are doing wire by wire or, you know, sometimes I always think about the hot rods. And, you know, I had a very dear friend who's passed now, but Richie had a 39 Ford. And we put a 429 big block, you know, a real 429 Ford motor in it.
Right.
You know, and that's a story unto itself. He was actually working at dropping a car off at somebody's house that he had repaired, and he was walking out of the garage, and in the corner of the garage, he spotted this 429 bear block sitting there on the, you know, and it was the kid's father or something. I mean, it was a whole long story, and the kid, I got all these parts from my dad's old Ford, and, you know, they were trying to get rid of it and sell it. They didn't realize what it was, and Richie explained it all to him, and they said, well, listen, and I think they basically gave it to him. They knew it was valuable, but they were like, listen, just take it. We want to see somebody put good use to it. Dad would be happy. It was one of those stories. You know, but it was a real 429. It was the coolest thing, and he managed to stuff this thing into a 39 Ford, kind of like what you're doing, All right. You know, we put a lot of butter and lubed up the sides and jumped on it, and it popped in. But
well, I got the motor in, no problem, and I got it running. And but you know, that's not, and I got the transmission mounted and everything. But you know, I just want to. It runs, but will it run down the road?
Right. Well, will it run down the road reliably is the other question.
Right.
And what Richie ended up doing was he just contacted one of the wiring harness manufacturers, and they actually built him a custom harness to go with what the computer was that he said. He said, hey, I'm going to use this computer, because he put EFI fuel injection on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Can you build something to go with that? And they did. And, you know, I know we're both old school guys, Ted. But you know what? There are moments that we've got to count. If we're going to use a computer involvement here, then why can't we go to, like, you know, Holley or Edelbrock or Painless or any one of the other half a dozen companies out there and see who's got the best package?
Well, the wiring harness that I got was made by Painless. The guy at Painless, the power tour came through Springfield here about 5-6 years ago, and I talked to him. They don't make a wiring harness for this motor. But the guy that I talked to, he had made a custom one for a guy in Texas that put it in a front-wheel drive Lamborghini kit car,
okay.
And it worked fine. But he said it was never designed for a rear-wheel drive. But he said at least it would run the motor. He said you might be able to, you know, be able to modify it. So anyway, that's where I am. But you get on YouTube, and they're putting them in Camaros. They're putting this motor in Camaros and other vehicles, and they run, and they show them running them. But they never tell you how they do it, and in some cases they're actually shifting the transmission with separate switches. You know, they're just doing it manually, shifting the transmission from first to second to third, and then locking up the computer.
Right.
I mean,
here's converter. here's my parting thought. I would be curious, okay, because some of the GM vehicles, engines, transmissions, the trans control was built into the PCM. And then some of the vehicles, the trans control was a separate module. So if we go on the assumption that your PCM, your engine controller, has trans control function in it, if we could identify what vehicle that came out of, and then get onto AllData or Mitchell, and do, you know, get a pinout. You know, they'll show you if there's, what is it, three connectors on that PCM? Ted?
Two. There's two.
Two. Okay.
Two connectors, 80 pins.
So they'll give you a wire pinout of what each and every wire does.
I've got the manuals, you know.
Okay, if you can do that and then go backwards against your wiring harness, the four that you're missing, or the four that you have extra of, just what are they for?
Right.
If they're to control a charcoal canister vent valve, who cares?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And I've kind of done that, but like, for instance...
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that for instance. Let me pull over and take this pause, or Tony's going to yell at me. I'll be right back. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Don't go anywhere.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Welcome back. Hey, Ted, we thought we'd do that for you to give you a reminiscent of what could have been had you not put the 3800 in there.
Right. Maybe I'd be running down the road if I would have stuck with the 409.
Well, there you go. So go ahead. Finish your thought. We got about 2 minutes.
Okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I appreciate your help. I just wondered if the pressures, you know, maybe are different in the transmissions. Maybe that would cause them not to shift right. You know, you could have all kinds of problems.
Well, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would think about it like that. I would really go along the idea of what triggers what. All right. If we can trigger the solenoids, then internal pressures are internal in the trans. That's got computer's got nothing to do with that. Computer is power and ground apply. You know, just control. It's still a mechanical trans in the sense of what it's going to do internally. Now, perhaps that model year transmission has an extra wire because it's going to change the way the converter clutch is going to apply, something different than what that computer works. So, you know, when you start to marry these things, you know, you're back to, okay, what do the four extra wires do or don't do? What are we missing? And, you know, that's why I start to look at wiring harnesses. You know, sometimes I will think about when I'm doing a hot rod, I'll do two wiring harnesses. One for ignition, you know, make the ignition system work, or, you know, one for starting and cranking. And then the other one will do ignition, fuel delivery, and then trans, and can I tie it all together as simply as possible? You may get what you have to work, but you may find that you're banging your head against the wall and you're going to get a flat head. And you may have to, you know, maybe change one or two or three components. Here's how I'd attack it. Identify what you've got. Identify what you're missing. And then decide, do you need those to make this function? Maybe you don't. And then at least you can go forward with it one way or another with what you've got or by changing something. Keep me posted. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.